Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 3rd of March, recording at 9:58 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. And apologies to that nice subscriber who requested that I record before 10 o'clock when he had to go to bed. I've not been able to oblige tonight. Now, what can we say about these stock markets? First, despite the warning signs that I have cited so often in the last month's broadcasts, there is still no evidence that this late-stage bull rally is actually over. And some of my important lead indicators, the Australian market, that hit another new high today. New Zealand, if that didn't hit a new high, it was very close to it. Asian markets are mostly steady generally. Japan, that's my favorite among the developed country stock markets for the very long term, obviously not necessarily on a short or medium term basis, but for the very long term, and I think also right now with the Nikkei up for the 6th day in a row, that's a wallflower performance relative to that second section index, which I've mentioned so many times, which just continues to power ahead into new high ground and is a bullish lead indicator. So the Nikkei, I feel, is going to have a good look at this 12,000 level and just above, which is the psychological roundophobia and lateral resistance, and also the upper region of this developing base formation. Now, I've said all along that that's going to be taken out, and I wouldn't be all that surprised if it was taken out in a matter of weeks rather than months, but that depends a little bit on what's happening elsewhere in other markets. Among some of the lead indicators among emerging markets. Now, that they have been very much of a raging fashion, not least in Eastern Europe. And I think that's a very good story for the long term. But we've noticed some clear downward dynamics for some of the indices recently. Mind you, they were overextended, and consolidations would certainly not be surprising, but a few largish one-day hits, large not in percentage terms, but relative to some of the persistent steady moves on the upside. Owen tells me that the banking sectors in most of those countries are still quite firm, so I'm wondering if it might have something to do with the oil price, which touched its all-time high in dollars here today before backing off a little bit. Now, stock markets and extending this rally into March have pretty well fulfilled my forecast, which I started to issue in early September after I'd gotten back from my cycling holiday in August, that the best case scenario was a rally well into the first quarter. And so we've seen that now, and that doesn't mean I'm going to sort of jump out of everything. I haven't jumped out of anything yet, but equally I'm not going to join the crowd that's some heavyweight analytical types, I notice, are saying, well, the markets are going to be fine this year and fine next year. That would certainly surprise me. But from a practical standpoint, I'm going to continue to monitor these warning signs that I've cited. And but I'm not going to really go in and either hedge or chop long positions aggressively until I see more than warning signs. I see some tangible evidence that this stock market cycle rally is actually over rather than in a late stage. And if I'm much too cautious, well, it won't make any difference overall, in the sense that I'll just stay with the positions that I have. And I have emphasized that the latter stages of a bullish move are often among the most profitable. So I would enjoy that, as no doubt would some of you who still have long positions, but I'm going to remain a self-confessed nervous Nelly in here over the short term, because I don't want to be caught out by these markets. And I'm going to emphasize, just because markets continue to move up, that doesn't mean I'm suddenly going to say extrapolate that on in perpetuity. Just as when the bond prices were moving up a couple of months ago, only a month ago, still long-term government bond prices. I'm talking about. I was not prepared to rationalize that move as some sort of new paradigm for bonds, where foreign central banks, who had nothing better to do with their money, were just going to buy, or that baby boomers were going to chase yields. Even though long-dated bonds were really not offering that much more than some of the shorter-term instruments. Okay, what else can I mention to you here? Softness in bonds. The JGBs were down today. The U.S. Treasuries are down a little bit in here today. I noticed that the Australian long-dated government bonds, which give them a bit of a lead on the downside, they have steadied up recently, but they were a bit oversold on the short term. In terms of, I go back to stock markets for a moment, Wall Street closing with a very modest gain, the Dow up 21. It had been down earlier in the day when oil prices pushed up above $50 a barrel, crude oil, that is. And then when that backed off, it helped the market to just push up 21 points on the Dow, only 0.39 of 1%, of 1 point rather, 0.39 of 1 point on the S&P, so virtually unchanged. The NASDAQ, though, down 9 in here. Now, that's not a big hit, but the NASDAQ has been underperforming, and that's a confidence index, so that's one of the many warning signs that I have been citing in here. And in currencies, now, we have had a firmer dollar in here today, and that started yesterday, really, after the gradual downside momentum in the dollar had abated. So we had yesterday's rally, and we've had some follow-through in here today, and it's taken the euro down to 131.09. No dynamics. That's only down 32 ticks, but similar moves. Pretty well all around. Dollar against the yen up to 105.25. That's up a half a yen. So my overall view is that we've got the dollar in a ranging pattern, and we're going to see most of this ranging on the US dollar index between the 80 roundophobia level and 85, where the resistance actually starts. And as I said in answer to one of the emails that I had dealt with in today's comment, no one looking at those charts could rule out the possibility of the dollar edging higher and perhaps edging above its February highs. Now, that's not a forecast. I'm not making a forecast that's going to happen. I'm just saying that I expect lots of ranging by the dollar index, and therefore, I'm certainly looking at the chart, to repeat myself, could not rule out a move above that February high, which is just near the 85 level. Now, were that to happen, of course, that would weigh on precious metals, as the dollar's rally did in here today, knocking back gold and silver a bit. Although it did not weaken the platinum market, which was up slightly higher. The big mover on the upside today, gaining over $10, was the palladium market, moving up to 200 before backing off by a dollar here in after hours trading. And hardly surprising, these automobile companies, which have been absolutely hammered in terms of the costs of steel and the costs of aluminium, and that isn't going to change. Their problems will get worse, and they can't pass those price increases on very easily because it's such a ruthlessly competitive industry. So it's hardly surprising that they would rethink their platinum for palladium usage, since they can buy the palladium for one quarter of the price of the platinum, thereabouts. And also, well, despite some retooling costs, but it's interesting that we get this market steadying at a time when I'm sort of receiving extremely bearish reports and some bearish individual comments from people. But that's usually the case when a market is very, very cheap and bumping along at a bottom, which I suspect is the case of palladium. Now, again, I'm not making a special, or I'm not issuing a special drumbeat here for palladium. I've described it very much as the laggard all along, and if you were looking at precious metals, I do not think that palladium is your first visit. It's probably the last, but I have all four of them. They have to be traded somewhat differently, and the biggest position that I've built up from time to time is in the silver market, which I do trade fairly actively because there's so much ranging that takes place, and I expect that to remain the case, although overall within the within a developing secular bull market. But early stages of secular bull markets are boring more often than not. Lots of ranging. Okay, and now the industrial metals, they are stronger here. And nickel, I think they were pretty much all up on the day. I'm just put up my screen on that. We might have been unchanged on the US copper price, almost slightly up only $2 in the LME. But the big one in here was nickel. Now that was hit, I think at the beginning of the week for a couple of days, and it's just bounced right back up $675 in here today. So continuing to range higher. And again, as I've mentioned over and over again, the backwardations persist in this sector. I mean, one of the ones that I hold, for instance, tin, that was up $65 today on the 3 months price, $88 on the cash price, and we're sitting on 90, a backwardation of $93. So that's crept up recently. And I noticed the lead backwardation, which had narrowed quite a bit, but that's starting to widen again. This just indicates that there is very, very persistent real demand. This is not hedge fund stuff. Hedge funds don't stockpile nickel and lead. This is demand coming from China, India, the United States, and other sources. Demand that's exceeding the immediate supply of metals. So I continue to like this sector very much. I'm happiest playing it in the actual metal markets, as you know. I appreciate that that's certainly not for everybody, but some of these mining companies, I mean, the one I own in terms of the industrial metals is the Billiton, and there's that Merrill Lynch World Mining Trust, that closed-end investment trust. Sorry, did I say Billiton? I know I don't own the Billiton. I own funds which own Billiton. That would include the Merrill Lynch World Mining Trust that I just mentioned. I own the Rio Tinto. But they've all got terrific chart patterns. Yeah, they've had good moves up recently, but I certainly don't think this is over. And resources, that's a sector that does well in the latter stages of a bull cycle, as I've mentioned on a number of occasions. And what about oil, having touched the high, or not quite, but I think it got up to $55.20 at one point, now trading at 53.50. 53.52, so it backed off that level, not surprisingly. But this pattern can certainly support further gains, if not over the very short term, certainly over the medium to longer term. All the best.